The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Have you ever gargled peanut butter?
What's the capital of North Dakota?
Do I spit when I talk?
All this and more on the Eric Metaxas Show. Now your host, until further notice, Eric Metaxas.
Hey folks, welcome to hour two, part deux. Right now, we're going to be having John Zmirak on the program in a couple of seconds, but Chris and Albin, you've got some social commentary that I think is very important. On last night, Tucker Carlson had on a Chinese virologist. We've got a number of things that we want to talk about. But before I do that, an announcement. The announcement is this. There is a new film out called One Nation Under God. It's available right now on SalemNow.com. Now, you all know that if you go to SalemNow.com, there's a ton of films where if you use the code ERIC, you get a 20% discount right off the top, SalemNow.com. But the one we're focused on now, the new one, is One Nation Under God. It's the story of David Gutierrez, who comes from a single mother home, obtains a scholarship to the prestigious Lehigh Magnet School. You know about these magnet schools. He learns the principal has prohibited any mention of God in the school. A few weeks later, Senator and presidential candidate Weston Vieira, as you know, this is fiction, comes to speak to the school. David has the chance to ask the senator a question. I love this kind of stuff. His question is, if our founding fathers placed God at the center of our nation, shouldn't God be a part of our schools and government today? Now, if you listen to this program, you know that we talk about this all the time. It's the most logical question, but a lot of people aren't aware of this, which is why I'm thrilled they made this film, One Nation Under God. So he asked the question. The senator obviously is caught off guard. His answer sets off a frenzy of national press coverage. So it's a story of a student standing up for his conviction and how it can inspire others. We're going to be talking about this in the weeks ahead. One Nation Under God at SalemNow.com. Use the promo code ERIC, promo code ERIC, promo code ERIC, 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 ERIC. You got it?
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm so excited that SalemNow.com is airing all of these different movies that you can't see elsewhere. And I just want people to know, and I should at least mention.
Trump 2024.
You get a code, but you get a discount. But honestly, they're screening a lot of films that, you know, as we migrate toward streaming services, you want to know about SalemNow.com.
Yes.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. We've got Zmirak coming up. MacArthur is the bomb. He is unbelievable. And how about when he sang that Electric Light Orchestra song? I was like, what the heck is that all about? That was insane. Chris, is Chris here? Chris,
I don't have with Chris. He kind of dropped off
Chris
the planet.
Just went off the planet.
Oh, here he comes. Here he comes.
Chinese have kidnapped him because he's on to this, to the COVID thing.
Yeah.
This is big news. We're gonna. I don't know if we're going to get a chance to talk to John Zmirak about it, but last night, I missed it, but I watched the video later. This is actual news, right? Tucker Carlson had on a Hong Kong virologist. This is the woman who purportedly has the evidence. Now, you can almost not imagine the implications of this. The ramifications go on and on, but she claims to have the evidence that the virus, the COVID virus that has been the subject of everyone for the last 6 months and that has killed people, she has evidence that it was created in a specific Chinese lab. In other words, there are viruses that mutate, there are viruses that occur naturally, and then there are these things that you know are Frankensteinian creations, that if you know about how viruses are created, when you look at it, there's no way for it to have occurred mistakenly to be a mutation. So she talks about this on Tucker Carlson. She claims that the Chinese government did it intentionally as bio warfare. Now, she didn't get enough time on Tucker, and he didn't ask her these questions, but it follows. Let's be fair to the Chinese. I don't think they deserve us to give them the benefit of the doubt, but for the sake of argument, it is possible to create things in labs. Anthony Fauci, I'm not joking, has done the same thing, where you are almost playing with the science to see what's possible. And you have no intention of releasing this horrible thing. So this type of thing has been going on. I've heard about it. We've not talked much about it on this program, but where people in labs, and again, I'm not kidding, Anthony Fauci was doing the very same thing. About 2 years it got shut down, but it's where scientists, it's almost like wargaming, except they're really creating viruses that did not exist before. So it's perfectly possible that the Chinese government did this in the same way that Fauci did this, and that it then mistakenly was released. That's putting the best face on it. But knowing who the Chinese communist leaders are, it is also unfortunately very possible and perhaps even probable that they had a plan to release this and to cover it up and to make it seem like something that just happened. And I think the darkest part of it is that if it killed a number of Chinese and they knew that that was going to happen, I know the Chinese leadership would not care. They don't value human life in that way. And there's no line that they won't cross if they can gain power for the party. That's what Marxism is. That's why we have to denounce BLM, Black Lives Matter, the organization and the movement are, they're without those kinds of values. There may be some people who stumble into that movement who have actual values, but the leadership is on the record as being Marxist, which is to say they believe in nothing transcendent. They believe in power. And that's what the Chinese communist government is. And we have to be clear. Can you still hear me? I keep forgetting, like, yes. I'm going to touch the mute on my new microphone. So this is important stuff. And I think really important stuff. We should joke about it. I don't know, Chris, can you have any politically incorrect joke that you might want to make, for example?
Well, I just, I'm reminded of an old playground saying that, you know, obviously in hindsight, we probably should have seen this coming. But, and I quote, and it's not something I'm proud of, it's just something the kids say before they know any better. But the playground phrase was, and I quote, "Me Chinese, me play joke, me put genetically modified bat virus in your Coke."
Wow. Yeah. I remember that that's incredible. Yes. In third grade at Transfiguration Parochial Greek Orthodox Parochial School in New York City in the playground. Yeah. I remember kids saying that, yeah, and at the time it meant nothing to me.
Right.
And yet now it seems prophetic on a Nostradamus level.
Yeah.
Wow. I think I could bring all this together. You know, you talked about experimenting in a lab and then releasing it and making a big mistake. That's what happened in the mid-80s with New Coke. They shouldn't have released that, but they
did.
You just
broke the internet, my friend. You just broke the internet. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, before we go to our friend John Zmirak, I want to remind people tomorrow we have on Byron York, kind of a big deal, you'll see. Lou Dobbs tomorrow. Later this week, Roger Stone, Victoria Jackson, Dennis Prager. We've got all kinds of stuff. And then yesterday, don't forget, we had Jim Caviezel and Bill O'Reilly. Those were just two monster interviews. I hope you're subscribed to our channel, which is the Eric Metaxas Show YouTube channel. Please subscribe. And I want to exhort you, friends, family, I guess to help us expand our platform. You know that the kind of stuff we talk about on this program, it isn't typically talked about on the mainstream media or on the conservative media often. And we'd love to get the word out. David Pickup did an amazing interview with us a few weeks ago about how it's possible for people with same-sex attraction to find help. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody seems to care about people struggling with this and not happy with it. So please, you know, share these videos with your friends as you can. Retweet our tweets. Do what you can, just because we have no advertising budget, and that's that. So we're going to talk to John Zmirak, and we'll be right back.
Is a burning thing, and it makes
a hey there, folks. Welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. Would you like a change of pace? Well, that's not difficult, considering the guest with whom we just spoke. I thought, why don't we get our old friend John Zmirak? I know that John is on some Hollywood studio. He's filming a film. And I thought, you know, he's a friend. Maybe he can just open up his computer and join us. And son of a gun, he did. John, thank you so much. It's just great to have you.
Hey, Eric. Great to be here. And I'll take a break from my assembly line work of writing, five yes. columns a week.
Yes, yes. And say hello to your friend, Veruca Salt. Look, I want to get right to it with you. We've got to speak about what is happening in our country right now. People tune in. They always want to know, what does John think? So where should we start? You have a number of articles at stream.org. I tell people, go to stream.org every day. Stream.org is a place to get the kind of news I would like to think you're looking for, whoever you are. So John, share with us sure. some of the things that you've been talking about lately.
I did a couple of interviews with that fantastic author, Paul Kangor, who's been on your show numerous times. Yes. About his book, The Devil and Karl Marx. And the two things that really jumped out at me from that fascinating book, which I highly recommend, were, first of all, that Marx himself and his followers and the movement he launched were fundamentally negative. They were not about building anything good. They had a sort of fantastical utopia in the back of their minds, but that was really the fig leaf for fundamentally destructive, nihilistic, sabotage, vandalism, revolution, what we're seeing in our streets. Marxism really looks like.
But playing devil's advocate, and no pun intended or no reference intended, I just want to ask you, when somebody like Marx says that it's about revolution and you're saying it's really about destruction, was there no idea of building some utopia on the other side? What do you mean?
Well, what I'm saying is that the fundamental impulse that drove Karl Marx, that which Kangor traces in his early work and in all throughout his life, the fundamental impulse was to tear down the structure of existence as it is: the family, the nation state, the church, the economy, private property. His urge was to tear it down. And then he said there will be, down the road, a new system created. And in that new system, people won't even be selfish. Human selfishness will be eradicated. People will just want to share. They will not have the acquisitive instinct. This will be the new socialist man. They won't have the religious instinct. They will simply be a different species of being. Karl Marx wanted to destroy the human species as it exists and create a new species to take its place.
Let me ask you, theologically speaking, is this because most Marxists and most even theological liberals don't really buy into the idea of original sin? They think that original sin and the specter of fear and force and, you know, putting checks on power. It's unnecessary if we're talking about the capital N, capital M, new man, right? The new utopianist creature of the state. Somehow he is freed of the encumbrances of the Western biblical worldview, and he is somehow free to be who he always was, who Rousseau and others say that he is. It's a tabula rasa. I mean, is that the idea behind it, that he never believes?
Right, that is the idea behind it. That Marx claims that the power of the state, the dictatorship of the proletariat, can do what the church never could. Remove even the effects of original sin. Remove even our temptations towards sin. I mean, Jesus had Judas, right? So Christ himself had men around him who were weak and frail and corrupt. But Marx will do better. Using the dictatorship of the proletariat, he will whip the human race into shape and beat the selfishness and wickedness out of them. And we see in the gulags, and we saw it see in the Cultural Revolution and in the killing fields, what happens when you treat human nature as a pinata that you're going to beat until you make it perfect.
And okay, I want to say this in case anybody listening is not aware of this, right? Right in the Garden of Eden, the first lie, the serpent says that to Adam and Eve, you can be as gods. He's giving them this lie and saying that God is afraid of you. He's afraid you're going to take power. It's kind of like a Prometheus myth. He's afraid that you're going to go to the top of the mountain and steal the fire from the top of Mount Olympus, and then you'll have what he's trying to keep from you. So he's the bad guy, and I'm the good, empowering figure trying to free you to be who you really are, and you will be as gods. And the brilliance of every brilliant lie is that it sounds, it partakes of truth. In other words, Jesus is saying the same thing, except the true version of it. He's saying, if you follow me, if you humble yourself, and if you pick up your cross and follow me, by going through death with me, you will be resurrected into eternal life, and you will be with me forever. But you have to go through the cross. You have to humble yourself. The opposite message, the easy message, is the satanic message, the Promethean message. And that is exactly what Marx, the reason it's so powerful is because it's kind of what everyone wants to hear, is it not?
Yeah. It's, you will be as gods. And so what's fascinating, we have to remember, Black Lives Matter is a Marxist-led, Marxist-founded, Marxist-organized group. That is a destructive movement before anything else. They claim everything must be torn down and leveled, broken to rubble, and then something new can be built on the ruins. Not, you know, Christianity doesn't say that. It doesn't want to destroy the sinner's nature and obliterate him and replace him with an unrecognizable person. It wants the sinful man to die and be resurrected with Christ. Marxists want that for society. They want to kill society and the family and freedom, and then forcibly resurrect it through technological means, like bringing the Frankenstein monster to life.
Okay, In a way, the clearest part of this is that there is this wild, destructive nature at the heart of Marxism, at the heart of this anarchist, Marxist revolution we see in our streets right now. And it has a weird, nihilistic delight in destruction. It seems to me that you can just sort of smell that. And whenever you're dealing with Jesus, you never see that. You never, ever see that. He always wants to redeem. He wants to bless that which is broken and heal it. But we're talking about just the opposite.
Right, exactly. I mean, at one point, Jesus just threatens to curse the fig tree. That's Marx. Marx is, in fact, as a mere human being, cursing fig trees left and right and center. Kengor also has a fascinating section on infiltration of churches. How do Marxist organizations infiltrate churches by having seemingly innocuous sounding groups like United Against Fascism and War? Well, who could be for fascism and war? Or Black Lives Matter? Well, who could literally say that Black Lives don't matter? And so it's an interesting section. He's got an entire chapter of his book about how the Marxists infiltrate churches and get in the worm their way into the hearts of well-meaning Christians who don't have a very discerning mentality.
Well, it's just an extraordinary thing that that Kangor wrote this book now, because we do have this clear view. I keep talking about this. It is quite binary. You have the left having gone full on Marxist, even though many of them, most of them, won't admit it. That's basically what it is. It's cultural Marxism. You and I have talked about this, about Gramsci, and they bought into that idea and they're running with it. And even if you hate Donald Trump, he is your only. He's the sort of seawall standing against total chaos in America. I mean, it's a stunning thing, because Joe Biden, as we know, with Pelosi, they don't have the beginning of an idea of how to stand up to these radical Marxist forces. They don't know what to say. They're sputtering.
That's right. Imagine if the Republican Party had really been taken over by the skinhead Nazis from Charlottesville. That's the Democrats today. Imagine if Donald Trump were a bumbling, senile, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, and Richard Spencer were pulling the strings, and young men in little Hitler haircuts and stupid little Hitler imitation mustaches were running the show. That really is the Democrat Party.
I mean, it's horrifying, but we need to face it. Folks, we're doing our best by having people like John Zmierich on. In fact, sometimes we'll actually have John Zmierich on in the next segment. We'll do just that. Don't go away. Folks, I'm back with John Zmierich. He has a lot of articles at stream.org. I encourage you to go to stream.org, because we can't possibly do them justice in the short time we have together. John, what else have you written about at stream.org that we should know?
Well, I wrote a piece, and I think it's one of the most interesting and potentially important things I've written in many years. It's called "If Progressive Christians Were Right, the Gospel Would Be a Cancer." Well, I just want to unpack that slowly. I try to explain in this article at stream.org why it is the West, and the West alone, sees such self-destructive, self-lacerating movements. I mean, you never see Muslims tearing down the statues, the pictures and the inscriptions of the founders of their own countries. You don't see Buddhists saying that the essence of Buddhism is to step aside and welcome other religions and let lots of people from other intolerant religions come in and take over our countries. The Buddhists don't do that. The Confucians don't torment themselves with guilt and self-hatred. It seems to be something that happens in the Christian West and nowhere else. Is there something in Christianity which can be hijacked, which can sort of turn on itself like a cancer cell? And a cancer is so dangerous because it takes our own DNA and turns it against us, and our immune system can't spot that these are mutated cells because there's so much DNA that we have in common. Progressive, woke ideology, I argue in this piece, is a mutated form of Christianity, and it preys upon a vulnerability in the very structure of the gospel that the devil, the enemy, takes advantage of and uses to create new false gospels, to just generate them, just mutate them and send them out there like a zombie army. And I try to understand why this is and what's behind it.
And we have to say, at least I want to say that, just to be clear, when we're dealing with truth, we have to understand God created truth and God created reality. So there's no such thing as a pure lie. All that Satan can do is take God's truth and God's reality and twist it or pervert it or steal it to do something. He cannot create. A lie, by definition, is truth perverted, reality twisted. And that's what we always have. And that's why it's so hard for somebody, if you don't know the real thing well, it's like a counterfeiter. If you know a dollar bill incredibly well, you can tell whether it's counterfeit or not. But if you're not so sure, you can be fooled. And people who don't know the Bible and who don't have a biblical view of things, when they hear what some of these Marxist types are saying, it sort of sounds like something they've heard. There's good stuff in it. They just can't tell that it ain't the real thing.
Right. And so I talk about, for instance, the metaphor, not the metaphor, the instance I use is the left insisting that we replace the word women with W-O-M-X-N, womixen, an unpronounceable neologism. Instead of the A or the E in women, you put the letter X. Now, this has a few problems. It's unpronounceable, right? It looks like something about Albania.
Now, hold on, though. But just to be clear, when you and I were in college, the radical feminists were doing this. They spelled women W-O-M-Y-N because right. They didn't like the idea that the word man or men was part of it. And right. So they said, we've got to figure out a way around this. So they spelled it W-O-M-Y-N. You're saying now this has happened again, happening again with the letter X, which is even more insane.
Because it's a consonant. So the word womuxen is impossible to say, which is like the name of God in the Old Testament. They found something so sacred you can't say it. But why? What is going on here is not funny. It's really dark. They want half the human species, the womuxen, to call themselves by an unpronounceable made-up word. Why? Well, the reasoning behind womuxen is that it's somehow more welcoming to the transgenders, to the men who have cut parts of their bodies off and pop female hormones and dress up in unconvincing drag and become health commissioner of Pennsylvania. So half the human species is supposed to change what they call themselves, change how they conceive of themselves, and say that Bruce Jenner is welcome in my locker room, in my bathroom, and competing against me in sports. Young Bruce Jenners can compete against my daughter. They can use the same locker room, and we have to reconceive what it means to be a woman. It doesn't mean biology and fertility and motherhood and God's creation. No, it means makeup and heels, I guess, and talking in a higher voice. What does it mean?
You're making a deeper point than I realized. I'm not kidding. I understand now what you're saying, and it's a little hard to grasp. In other words, you're saying that they're not simply changing the spelling or the pronunciation of the word women. They're trying to create this alternative thing which exists apart and in defiance of God's creation and God's order. And they're saying there is no such thing anymore as a man or a woman. There is this other thing. It's a construct we insist upon and we define. And whoever says he or she is one of those, we give them this name, and it has nothing to do with any physical reality. We're going to a break. Folks, I have the joy of speaking to John Zmirak. More when we come back.
Hey folks, trying times. Just know they won't last. Trying times can be hard on our digestive tract. So why not try Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com? Life Change Tea is an herbal blend of tea that helps the digestive tract and the colon cleanse from intruders. For years, people have experienced the benefits from Life Change Tea, and so can you. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. And for those of you that want to go a step further, we have non-GMO organic supplements. If you're listening to Eric, you're informed and educated. So how about free shipping? Just go to the checkout, find the coupon code, enter Eric, E-R-I-C, hit apply, and receive free shipping. Again, Eric, in the coupon code, hit apply, free shipping. These historic times will pass. The yuck in your gut will pass also with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. GetTheTea.com.
Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with My Pillow. You may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric, okay? Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like three pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me. That even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are, and I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to mypillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to mypillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you.
Hey, folks, you're listening to the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to John Zmirak. John, just a ton of stuff to talk about. Should we continue on the WOM?
Yes. So
X or XN?
Yes, the Womuxin stuff, respelling the word women with an X instead of an A or E. This is a tiny group of people, by any account, trans people who want to be called women even though they are not women. Okay, so these fake women or male eunuchs or whatever you want to call them. And some of them have mental illness. Some of them have a creepy fetish called autogynephilia, where it turns them on to dress up as the opposite sex. Whatever, this tiny percentage of people, half the human species is supposed to accommodate them. But let them ruin women's sports, invade women's locker rooms, women's bathrooms, redefine what it means to be a woman. You're supposed to do all this, jump through all this hoops for this infinitesimal fragment of people. Why? Why should we care? By any secular standard, at best, this is a biological deviation. It's not the fittest. It won't survive. By Darwinian logic, it should just die off. Why embrace it? Well, that's where fake Christianity comes in. Fake Christianity says, I will leave the 99 sheep to go seek the lost sheep. That's good. But I'll go further. When I bring that one sheep back, he gets to dominate and maybe eat all the others. He can be a wolf and I'll let him. Or when the prodigal son comes back, we don't just welcome him. We disinherit the elder son and give it to the prodigal. In other words, we take what is a little bit of a twist in Jesus's teachings, that Jesus did on purpose to emphasize his authority and his power and God's mercy. We take that twist and we embrace the twist. We embrace and we go further than Jesus. We say, well, Jesus said, Moses said to you X, but I say unto you Y. We say, Jesus said unto you X, but we say unto you Y. We're going to do to Jesus what he did to the Pharisees. And our kids are going to do to us what we did to our parents. And there will be a constant radicalizing. We'll constantly be looking for more and more perverse and strange and non-rational ways of reinventing mercy and goodness and charity.
But you know, and I know, John, that because the God of the Bible created all of reality, when we do these things, we are kicking against the goads. In other words, you can never really accomplish this. It is not possible to create an alternative reality. Anytime people have tried, they have failed. They have caused untold misery, agony. It happened in the Soviet Union, in those gulags. It happened in the Chinese Cultural Revolution. It's happening now in North Korea. In other words, these horrors cannot stand ultimately because we are prisoners of reality. God does not give us the opportunity to escape this reality. Ultimately, we're dealing with reality. You know, the atomic structure, the world the way it is, you know, you can be angry at the fact that the sky is blue, but at the end of the day, there's not much you can do about it.
You know, I've got another piece about that at the stream, an interview with Jennifer Robeck Morse. Are you familiar with her?
Absolutely. We had her speak at Socrates in the City years ago.
She's fantastic. Well, I interview her, and the subject is reflected in the title, "The Sexual Revolution, Not Racism or Capitalism, Ruins the Lives of the Poor." And she has got a book, The Sexual State, where she compares the sexual revolution directly to the French Revolution and the Russian Revolution and the Chinese Revolution, directly as political power-seeking revolutions which seek government power to change policies, to force one set of policies onto people and stop people from doing another set of things. And she looks at the ideologues of the sexual revolution, people like Wilhelm Reich and Margaret Sanger and the Marquis de Sade and Hugh Hefner. These were people who were radically dissatisfied with the basic reality of human existence, that men and women are different, that women have babies, men don't, that women suckle babies, men don't, that men are physically stronger generally than women, and that personality structures and different types of thinking tend to go along with the sexes, that human beings are naturally monogamous up to a point, they struggle with it, but they pair off, and that children do best in families where the parents stay together. All the things that people took for granted in like 1930, they were rebelling against. It frustrated them. It angered them. They wanted to create a sexual utopia where none of these things were true. If you want to deny the basic biology and psychology and structure of the human race, you're going to need a lot of government power to force people to act against their impulses, to corral them and guilt them and frighten them and intimidate them into obeying your will. And look what they're doing to J.K. Rowling. Just because she insists that a man with a beard in a dress is different from than she is, okay, that it's not the same thing, that just saying, "I'm a woman now," doesn't make you one. They're trying to destroy the most popular living author in the world. They're trying to terrorize her. They're trying to get her canceled and obliterated. Just, I mean, thank God she's standing up. She's a left-wing pro-choice feminist, but at least she doesn't want to be bullied, and she has the money to say, "Go to hell. I'm not going to cave in."
It's an extraordinary thing. Even I remember when people stopped using Miss and Mrs., and if that's my dog, tell it, be quiet. If it's your dog, let it go. If your beagles are so cute, I wouldn't mind if they just talked for the whole show. You know that. So,
sorry, there's a dog outside barking nuts and it's sending.
Oh, it's the other dog. Oh, Lord, it's the woman that you gave me. John. Oh, this is so crazy. Let me see now, folks. If you're watching on YouTube, you just saw the cutest creature in the world. And I'm not talking about John or me. I'm talking about that beagle. The point I wanted to make was that when you and I were growing up, there was a term Miss, M-I-S-S, and there was a term Mrs., M-R-S. And that was a signal in the culture to people to let them know this woman is either married or this woman is not married. The feminist movement militated against that. Now we all say Ms., M-S, which makes no sense. But there's more to that. We don't have time right now. We're going to be right back with John Zmirak. I'm talking to John Zmirak and his beagles. And I want you to know, folks, that we have so much to talk about. We don't know where to start. John, first of all, there's an election coming up. They supposedly scheduled the debate for September 29th. I think I'm going to be out of the country, which makes me very, very upset. Do you think that debate is going to happen?
It's an interesting test of culture. Whether this debate happens or not, how confident are the elites that they can just tell Americans what to think and that they can shove any lie, any fantasy down our throats and we'll just say, oh, yeah, thank you, man. Have some more of that. Can they convince Americans that it's not that Joe Biden is a senile, shambling wreck of a once mediocre hack and opportunist? No, it's not that Joe Biden can injure himself brushing his teeth. It's nothing to do with that. Donald Trump is such a liar and a Russian spy and a serial killer and a foreign, you know, radical and a fascist and a misogynist. He's all these horrible things. And to let him debate someone as honorable as Joe Biden would be to legitimize him. I actually see that argument that letting Donald Trump, who is the president of the United States because we elected him and has
no, but he was only. You have to understand, he was only elected by those deplorable people called the American voters, and they shouldn't have a say. Let me ask you though, how weird is it that we are talking about whether there will be one debate? Typically, there would be three debates. There have always been three debates in my memory, in my historical memory. The idea that we're talking about a single debate is itself very telling, very strange.
I didn't know we were down to just one. I thought there was still talking about, I thought there were still three scheduled, but we're talking about whether it will happen at all. And the reason we're talking about it is because the man who is the Democrats' figurehead is clearly senile. He's clearly incapable of being a school crossing guard. I mean, really, would you let your kid walk to school if one of the crossing guards on Broadway in Manhattan was Joe Biden? I mean, he'd make sure your kid's hair smelled okay, but he might not keep him out of traffic. He is not.
You know, that is the scariest thing anyone has ever said. You have managed to distill this so perfectly. I have to take my hat off to you. To ask that question, would you trust your kid with Joe Biden as the crossing guard? I'm not kidding. That is an amazing distillation of the issue, because the question is, would you? And you really caught me. I thought, oh my goodness, when lives are at stake, I don't think that I would, but I never thought that it could be that dramatic. You've stunned me, John. You've done it before, but this time you've really stunned me.
Thank you. I mean, but I'm terrified by this. No, it's not. He's not going to be the crossing guard. We're going to give him the nuclear football. This guy who can't remember that we're endowed by our creator. And today he talks about a thing, you know, the thing that endowed us with our rights. So what's not funny about this is the person who will really be wielding the power is apparently Kamala Harris, a radical left-wing, angry, vicious opportunist who, when she was prosecutor in San Francisco, covered up for sexually abusive priests because she got a lot of money from local left-wing Catholics in her campaign. So she
and
didn't
she's married. She's married to a white man, which she should be canceled for that. That's cultural appropriation. I'm so sorry that we're out of time. My goodness. John Zmierich, thank you. When we get you back, we're going to get you a new microphone. We'll talk to you in the next couple of days. God bless you. Folks, thanks for listening. Please tell your friends about this program. Please follow us both on Twitter. Please, we need you to help us get the word out. We're living in an important time. Thank you. Yeah.